Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Windham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. So glad to be with you again this morning. I know I look forward to being able to share the word with you. I hope that you look forward to that. We know some of you may be shut in, not able to get out to church. Some of you may be sick this morning. So we hope you're able to tune in with us, and we'll pray that God will restore you to your health. Those that may be traveling, we appreciate you listening. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into it this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for this wonderful week that you gave us, Lord. Just a little touch of fall in the air. Lord, we do pray for rain. Lord, we need rain. We know that you give us what we need. You know what we need best. But Lord, we feel like it's awful dry. So Lord, if you can see fit, just send us some rain. Lord, we do pray for these that are listening this morning. We pray those that may be ill. We ask you, Lord, to restore them to their health, that they can soon be up and about. Lord, we pray for those that may be struggling, may be shut in. Lord, we just pray that you will comfort them and strengthen them there in their home. We pray for the ones that may be traveling today, that's in their cars, listening on the radio in the car. Lord, I pray for a safe journey to and from wherever they're headed today. But then, Lord, we pray for all of your churches and the people that gather today in your churches, that your word will be proclaimed, and that, Lord, that people will respond. So we pray that this word will not return unto you void today, but that, Lord, that you will cross all boundaries today, that Satan will be bound, and that, Lord, it will be your words and not ours. Speak through me, cleanse me of my sin, Lord, and we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the praise for it all. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we do pray. Amen. You know, this morning as we look to the Word of God, this morning I want us to read from Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're just going to read about four verses there, verses 24 through 27 of Mark chapter 10. This morning I want us to think about the God of that can't happen. Now think about that just a minute. How many times have we heard people say, well, that just can't happen. That won't happen. That'll never happen. You heard words like that a lot of times, haven't you? Well, when pigs fly, well, that'll never happen. Well, you know, a lot of times people have said that about God a lot of times. And, well, that just will never happen. That can't happen. It won't ever come to be. And as I think about that, I wonder, do we really understand the God that we say that we serve? Do we really understand his power, that he is the one and the true God? Now, if we're serving some of these false gods of the world, if we're serving some of these false gods that's out here in the world today, then we don't have anything to look forward to, because really that God can't do the things that we think he can't do, because he can't do those. They are powerless. But our God is able to do anything far above and beyond anything that we could imagine. So this morning, what we're going to look at is the God that what? That people say, well, that just can't happen. What we call that is what? Miracles. We call it miracles. The miracles that God did throughout his Bible. I know in my study Bible, if you were to look up the word miracle, there's about two pages of things listed about the miracles. And they have them all divided in Old Testament miracles and New Testament miracles. They have them divided between miracles that were done, you know, by Elisha, that God used in them, and the different things, the prophets that he used, the miracles that were done. There were Paul and Peter and others in the New Testament. So, you know, this morning there's no way that we can cover all of those miracles. But I encourage you to get your Bible out sometime and study those. Now, this morning, this is part one. So I want to just go ahead and give you fair warning. This morning we're going to look up the God that just can't happen in the Old Testament. And then we're going to look at next week the God of that just can't happen, part two, in the New Testament. What God does in the New Testament and what he did in the Old Testament to prove that he is God and that it can happen. Because with him, as we're going to read in just a few minutes, we know all things are possible through God, because he is that great God. So let's read, if you will, in Mark chapter 10, beginning there with verse 24. And it says, "And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Now, you know, I've read this a lot of times, and I preached on this a lot of times. We love to preach about, you know, the camel going through the eye of a needle, that it would be easier for him. And I've heard that verse explained in so many different ways, and I'm sure that you have too, you know, about that. There was a gate around the temple in the wall, you know, that was called the needle gate because it was a small gate. And the only way a camel could get through it was to get out on his knees and crawl through. Well, listen, I don't think that's what it means at all, because we're talking about a God that can do anything, that all things are possible. Do you hear that? All things are possible. You know, in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, when he was talking there to Mary about being having Jesus, he said there, for with man, what? It may be impossible. What did he say? But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Back in Genesis 18, 14, he asked Abraham, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard that he can't do? So when Jesus makes the statement that, you know, that it's hardly any way that a rich man can enter into the kingdom of heaven, well, his disciples took great offense with that. They said, well, what do you mean, you know, a rich man? And they were just thinking about it. And Jesus told them, he says, well, think about it. Have you ever seen a rich man, you know, give up his riches to go? And this is after he's had that conversation, as we know, with the rich young ruler who wouldn't give up his riches, who said, you know, I got too much and I'm not going to give them up to follow you. And so here Jesus made that statement. He says, you know, that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to go into heaven. Well, they really got astonished then. And they even asked the question, what did they say? They said, well, then who can be saved? Then who can be saved? It, you know, if it's that hard for a rich man, then who can be saved? So that's the reason I don't believe that this verse is really implying, you know, that it's the needle gate where the camel had to get out on. Because with man, that's not impossible. You know, they can make the camel get down and get on his knees and crawl through. When God talks about the impossible, brothers and sisters, he talks about the impossible. What man should say, that can't happen. There's no way that can happen. There's no way that would happen. Listen to me. God is the God of that can't happen. He is the God that says that everything is possible with him. That with man, yes, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And praise the Lord, because what does that mean? That means that a rich man can be saved, right? That means that a rich man can be saved. I've known some rich people that have been saved. I've known people that God has blessed and materially and have wealth, and they are Christian people. And I think one reason that God has blessed them, because they are generous Christian people, and they give to the work of the Lord, and they always gave to the Lord, and therefore God blessed them. God tells us very plain, seek first the kingdom of God, and I'll give you all those other things. He said, if you're faithful in a few things, then I'll give you a lot of things. But see, a lot of us wouldn't be faithful with the small things that we have, much less with the great things that we have. Kind of like the preacher asked the guy one time, said, you know, if you had 100 cows, wouldn't you give the Lord 10 of them? And he said, well, yeah, preacher, if I had 100 cows, I'd give the Lord 10 of them. He said, well, if you had 50 cows, wouldn't you give the Lord 5 of them? He said, yeah, if I had 50 cows, you know I'd give the Lord 5 of them. He says, well, what if you had 10 cows? Would you give the Lord his one? And the fellow looked at the preacher and said, now, preacher, you know I got 10 cows. So is that how we are? Is that how we are? You know, as long as we know we don't have that, we're going to have to give. But what do we have? So if we want to have a lot, then we got to be willing to give of what we do have and give to God. So a rich man can be saved. That's what Jesus is saying. He said it's hard. This rich young ruler proved it. But with God, all things are possible. So this morning, that's what I want us to think about. That God is the God of that can't happen. He can make it happen. We can't do it. Man can't do it. with man, what did he say in verse 27? Jesus looked on him and said, with men it is impossible. But with God, there what? All things are possible. And so I want you to look through the Old Testament first and understand and see how that God proves that he is God. And that with him, all things are possible, and he proved it with the things that he did. And then we'll look next week. You'll come back for part two. You'll find how that what? That God has also proved it in the New Testament with doing things that just couldn't happen according to man. So let's look at several this morning. I picked out five. There's a world of different miracles that were done, of things that man said, you know, that just can't happen, that are there in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that I believe speak to us and have a message to us. The first one is creation. Have you ever thought about creation as being a miracle, as something that just can't happen? Number two is the flood. Have you ever thought about the flood being a miracle? Number three is the birth of Isaac, when Isaac was born. What about it? What about number four? When the Dead Sea was divided and the Israelite people went across on dry ground. And then number five, the deliverance from the fire. And you know where we're going with that? In Daniel 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are just five that we picked out off of a page of, I don't know, 50 or 40. I don't know how many it were. So you can go back and read where God proves that he is the God of, well, that just can't happen, because it does happen in God's word, because he is the God of the impossible, that what man cannot do, God can do. So let's look first of all at creation. Have you ever thought about creation as being a great miracle? Well, of course it is. It's the greatest, one of the greatest miracles that God did, that we find, because it all began with that. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God what? Created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And for 6 days, he created. And on the seventh day, he rested. On the sixth day, we know he creates man, his greatest of all of his creations. When he looked at it all, what did he say? It is good. Everything is good, because he created all these things. Well, you even go over to John. St. John now, not 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, but in St. John chapter 1, verse 3, what did he say? And all things were made by him, and without him there was what? Was not anything that was made. Only by him. Now who was it? He's talking about the Word. Who is that? Jesus. It says the Word was God, it was with God, and through the Word what? All things were created. Now, if we don't get this right, then we don't get God right. And if we don't get God right, we don't get Jesus right. And if we don't get Jesus right, then we don't get salvation right. If you don't believe in the biblical account of creation, that God created everything that we see here, he says in John 1, there is nothing created that he did not create. If you don't believe that, then brothers and sisters, then you've missed the whole boat. You have to understand the importance of getting it right, that God created all things. And the thing about that is that he created it from nothing. I mean, God just speaks things into existence. And until we understand that he is the God of the impossible, he is the God that people say, well, that just can't happen. Listen, do you want to know why we got people that believe in the evolution? You know why we have people that believe in just that Big Bang theory? They just think, man, just all of a sudden something happened, boom. I had a guy tell me the other day that a star just exploded and made all this stuff that we have. Now, I want to ask him one question. Where in the world did that star come from? How did that star get there? You know, it's kind of like, how can we make anything? Everything that man ever makes, he develops it from what? Something that God created. Everything that man has comes from something else that God made, that God created, is where it comes from. And so we don't really create anything or make anything. But yet we're going to say that God didn't create everything. We're going to say we can't believe that. Well, look, if your God is not big enough to create everything, then you got the wrong God. Because, see, my God created everything. All these global warmest people, now listen to me. My God created this earth. He made this earth. This earth will stand as long as he wants it to. It will be destroyed by fire one day. It will all melt away. But let me tell you something. It's not going to be because some cow passed gas. It's not going to be because we burning too much gas in our cars. It's not going to be because of things we have done. The world will burn up one day because God burns the world up. He created it, and it's going to be because he did it, not because of what we have done, this man. Now, we may push that button, and we may have a nuclear bomb, but it's because that's the way God wanted to plan. But he tells us in his word, it will be destroyed by fire next time. But God created it. He made it. He is the God of that just can't happen. And if you can't believe in God, a God that is in the universe, that created all things, the one and only true God, and yet say you believe in evolution, there's something wrong with your thinking. You know, I'd a whole lot rather believe in that higher being, in that presence of Almighty God who created all this for us, than I would just to think, well, it all just boom, just happened. Because if it just boomed and just happened, why did it keep booming and keep happening? Maybe that's where the evolutionist people come from. I don't know. But if we don't get this right, brothers and sisters, then the whole rest of the Bible, that's the reading it begins, in the beginning, God. And God took nothing, and in 6 days created everything that we know. He put it in order. It works in order. And we just can't understand it. So therefore, we try to say, well, it happened some other way. Because, see, we can't understand the impossible. But to understand God, you have to understand that he can do the impossible. He can do the impossible, and he did the impossible through creation. Well, let's think about the flood. Now, you know, the flood, when you think about miracles and you think about God, that it can't happen, you may not want to think about the flood because the flood was a tragedy. It was a terrible thing. But think with me just a minute. He made creation, and because he made it, he can destroy creation. We need to understand that. We think God can't destroy creation. We think he can't get rid of it. He did once, didn't he? He did once, and we call it the flood. It doesn't make any difference what religion you study. All religions have an account of a flood, a great flood upon this earth. I don't care what religion. If you study it far enough, you'll find where all religions talk about some kind of national disaster, some kind of destruction of the earth. Well, we know what it is because it's recorded in God's word. We find it right there in God's word in Genesis chapter 7. Because God looked upon the earth, and when he looked upon the earth, it says in Genesis 7:12, and behold, it was corrupt. All the thinking of man was even corrupt. All flesh was corrupt in his way upon the earth. And so God comes to Noah, and he says to Noah there in verse 13 of chapter 7, he said to Noah, I will destroy the earth. But then he says what? But I what? I want you. I'm going to do it with a flood. I'm going to destroy all earth, all flesh. Anything that has breath in it's going to die. But Noah, I want you to build an ark. And I want you and your family is going to carry on just the human race and carry on the world. Now think about that just a minute. Is our God big enough to destroy the whole world? You better believe he is. Is he big enough to cover it with water? You know, some people think, well, God don't have any control of it. We talked about that global warming just a few minutes. You think God's not in control? You know, when the flood came, they had never seen rain before. They had never seen such a flood before. And the people would mock Noah. Mock Noah as he's building that. It took 120 years, he's building that ark. And he's putting it together out there on dry ground, a big boat. Can you imagine how they must have poked fun at him and laughed at him? But you see the miracle of this flood, that God does what? That he destroyed that creation, proving that God is in control, folks. He controls the sea. He controls the waters under the ground. Because when you read and you see how that he flooded there, the Bible says not only did it rain for 40 days and nights, but the fountains underneath began to spring up. So you had water coming out of the ground. You had water falling out of the sky because, see, it was a miracle. It was something that people said, that can't happen. But when that water got up about neck high and they got to beating on that door wanting to get in, no, I had to tell them, I can't let you in. God shut the door. See, God is a God of the impossible. People say, man, that was just impossible. There was no way that could happen. There was no way that the whole earth could be destroyed. There's no way that that can happen. But listen to me, brothers and sisters, it happened. And every religion has an account of it. But we have the true account of it. And God saw Noah, and Noah found grace in God's eyes. And so God got Noah to gather up the animals, and he took them by two in pairs, of the unclean, and seven pair of the of the clean. Why was that? Because he had to have something to sacrifice to God. Indeed. So he had to have more pairs. But God provided that, and it was a great miracle that even when the flood, that God saved Noah and his family. So we got to understand that God can and will punish evil. If we don't learn anything from the flood, that is what we need to learn. God will not keep putting up with our evil. Our nation needs to hear that loud and clear this morning. God will not put up with our continuous rejection of Him and of His Word and our turning our backs and stubbing our nose at Him. God will punish the wicked. And the flood, the people said, that can't happen. But it happened. Well, let's think about the birth of Isaac. The birth of Isaac. Now we've gone from creation. Now we've gone to the flood. The world has been destroyed. Now we see a man named Abraham. The God looks down and he calls Abraham and says, Abraham, I'm going to make out of you a great nation. I'm going to make me a nation of people. I'm going to make you the father of that great nation. And we see that Abraham's wife, Sarah, and Abraham were on up in years. Abraham 100 and she's 90. And God comes to Abraham and he tells Abraham, said, you're going to have a son. And in Genesis chapter 17, verse 17, when Abraham hears that, it says he fell on his face and he laughed and he said in his heart, shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old and to Sarah, his wife, who's 90 years old? Is that what's going to happen? And what did God say to him? He going over to chapter 18, verse 14. And God said to Abraham, we quoted it at the beginning, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there really anything too hard? No, there's not anything too hard for the Lord. Even a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman having a child. Now, what is this all about? See, this was a new covenant that God was making with man. We had that first covenant with Adam and Eve, did he not? You know, he put them there in the garden, told them be fruitful and multiply. They sinned. They turned away from him. The world got so wicked that God had to destroy the world. Now he wants to make him a new nation of people. So he chooses Abraham. He gets Abraham to come. He says, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham says, how's that going to happen? My wife's barren. She's 90 years old. We ain't had a son yet. And we know how Abraham and Sarah even tried to fix it themselves, didn't he? And gave him his handmaid, and he had a son by him. And that's the reason we see all that fighting going over there right now. All that's happening over there in Israel right now because of this split of these two, Ishmael and Isaac. But we see that God, through his power, can open up. Look, God is control of the birth canal, not abortion. Let me say that again. God should be controlling the birth canal and not abortion. He says, I'm too old. She's too old. God says, no, you're not. Because I promised you a son, and you're going to have a son. And his name's going to be Isaac. And I've got a new covenant with you. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. We need to understand that God is the God of that can't happen. He's the God of the God who wants to give us a new start, a new covenant. He wants his people to be his, and he's going to keep his word. And this proves to us that God will keep his word. It says in the New Testament, what did it say? I know that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm persuaded that he can do it. I know that he is able. I know that he will do what he says he can do. Why? Because he's the God of that can't happen. He's the God of all possibility. And we see that a new nation was began through Abraham and Sarah through their son, Isaac. Well, let's go to the fourth thing. The fourth thing we see is what we know the story of the Dead Sea. The Red Sea is divided. When we think about the sea being divided up and the people going across on dry ground. You know what I think about them as they were leaving Egypt. And you know the story. Go over to Exodus. It's in that book of Exodus in chapter 14. And we know how that they were fleeing from Pharaoh, that God had sent Moses to get them out. And we preach a lot about Moses and how Moses led the people out and everything that happened in that transpires through the plagues and all that. And so finally, what happens? They get to leave out. And as they're going, they look behind them, and here comes Pharaoh's chariots. Here comes his army. And what do? They panic. They lost hope. They said, we should have stayed there in Egypt. You have brought us out here, and now, you know, we're going to die because we have the sea on one side of us, and we have Pharaoh and his chariots behind us, and what are we going to do? We're fixing to die. We're fixing to be killed right here. We should have stayed in Egypt. Now, they were people who had what? They were people who had lost hope. But you know, God is the God what? Of that can't happen. They just thought, there's no way anything, any hope going to be given us. There's no way that we're going to be able to get out of this. But God had told Moses to do what? He said, when you get there, you know, you stretch your arm out over the sea and watch what happens. And in verses 21 and 22 of Exodus chapter 14, what happens? We see that he stretched out his arm. There was a great eastern wind that blew all night long. And what happened? The waters rolled back and the sea opened up. And as the sea opened up, they crossed on dry ground. Listen to that. On dry ground. It wasn't boggy. It wasn't like quicksand. It wasn't bogging up to their knees. They couldn't hardly get across. Brothers and sisters, they were able to get across the sea because God opened up the sea. And then when Pharaoh's army comes up, and what? And when he comes in, his army with his chariots go in, what happened? The waters go back, and what happened? And it drowned all of Pharaoh and all of his great horses and all of his chariots were lost at the bottom of the sea. Now, there are a lot of people who've tried to explain that a lot of different ways. Oh, there was an earthquake. It happened at this particular time. There was this that happened. There was this wind. All this. Listen to me. You know how it happened? Because there is a God of that can't happen. There's a God that does it. And his name is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. The God who created all things that we've studied this morning. The God who can do anything. The God who says there's nothing too hard for me to do. There's nothing that my hand cannot do. I can do it all. And we see that he opened up the sea and divided it so that they could walk across on dry ground. Well, let's look at our last one we want to look at this morning. We're running out of time. It's a deliverance from the fire. There in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. We know the story of how Nebuchadnezzar has taken his prisoners. He has Daniel, he's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the name that he has given them. We know that he has made a decree that they have to fall down and worship him every time they hear the music played. And he wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And so he gets mad with them, and he brings them before him. And in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, we see that he looks at them, and he asks them, he says, verse 16, he said, do you think that your God can deliver you out of my hand? Now, Nebuchadnezzar at that time was what? The most powerful king on the face of the earth. And he said, there's nobody greater than me. You think there's any God that can get you out of my hand? And what did they say? He says, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us out from the fiery furnace. But if he does not deliver us out, we still, what? Will not fall down and serve your God. We still won't do it. Our God is able to deliver. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you feel like you're in an impossible situation? Do you feel like that there's no way that you can get out of it? It just can't happen. Listen to me, God is the God of deliverance that can deliver us out of any situation, any fiery furnace, any problem that we have. He is a God that can do it. In verse 25 of that verse, chapter 3 of Daniel, what happens? They throw him in, the fire so hard it kills everybody out, and what happens? Nebuchadnezzar looks in there and he says, that boys is walking around in there. And not only that, I see a fourth man in there who looks like the what? The Son of God. I see four men and he looks like the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? There was Jesus in the fiery furnace. Listen to me. God is the God of that can't happen. Who would have ever thought anybody could be thrown in that fiery furnace? Listen to me, brothers and sisters. The Old Testament is full of stories like this. An axe head floats in the water with Elijah in 2 Kings. We see that a donkey speaks to Barak in Numbers 22. We see that the sun goes back in 2 Kings chapter 20, I believe it is, and that the sun actually goes back. There's story after story after story that God proves himself to be the God that can't happen. The God of the impossible. This morning, what are you facing impossible? What's going on in your life that's impossible you feel like? God is a God that can make it possible. There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing he cannot do. So let us pray and thank him. Let him do the impossible for you this morning. Tune in again with us next Sunday as we'll hear the God of that can't happen, part two. So you feel back in next Sunday morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we serve a God that all things are possible with. Lord, there's people listening to me this morning that's in a situation and it seems impossible. It seems like there's no way out. But God, we know there is a way out and you're that way out. And so, Lord, I call upon you to work a miracle in their lives, whatever it may be. Work a miracle in their lives. Lord, we thank you for being in our midst today. If there's one lost that does not know you, help them to experience the greatest miracle of all of salvation through Jesus, your Son. As we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.